The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I want to address something that the Twitch guys keep talking about. It's like, why would Bienemy want to come here? He's not going to be interested in it. I know a lot of people in Kansas City, he loves Deshaun Watson. That would be the reason he wants to come here and coach Deshaun Watson. So he's going to have a choice of where he wants to go. But let's be honest, most of these teams, they're in the same kind of crappy situation the Texans are, which is why they're looking for a coach. So there is interest there, from what I understand from people in Kansas City. You know what? Somebody brings up a good point. Typically, there's not football when the Masters is on.
Yeah. But I would have thought that CBS, like, if given the choice, don't you take NFL over the Masters?
I don't know if they have a choice with the Masters.
I guess not. Well, I mean, I would think their NFL contract's pretty healthy, too.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a one-time thing that you obviously didn't expect. So,
yeah.
That explains it. Yeah, because I'm sitting there trying to figure out, well, when would this have happened before? It hasn't. And I guess we're going to run into a lot of that.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz. Add Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Miss the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. And a lot of AJ burps. I think he's going for a record today. That's about it. Nothing else really important happened. It is What Are the Odds Wednesday, so if you want to put odds on it. Uh-oh, Rona.
Rona. Sorry.
Yeah,
Sorry about the Rona.
I don't have a positive Rona update today.
Well, then let's not give one.
The numbers are not good. They're up on everything. Yeah. It's not bad, really bad like it was, but it's getting close again. We had 923 new cases yesterday.
I mean, I worked on a new jingle. We should give some type of update.
All right, well.
Nobody wants to hear negative updates, though. That's what I realized.
It's just basically, every number that we talk about every day was up yesterday. Hospitalizations and even the ICU's more full than it was yesterday. 923 new people, which we've been around 500 or below, which is a really good number. We're still under 1,000. That's the only positive I can put out of that. But that's a pretty big number. 5.8% positivity rate, that's up. And then the effective reproduction rate is up to 1.11, which was 1.01 yesterday. So,
did you see there was some waiver claims made in the NFL?
I did not.
Tech McKinley, who got waived by the Falcons, apparently 5 teams put in waiver claims on him.
Really?
Pass rusher, decent, decent guy. I mean, he's not, he hasn't blown the world up, but
he hasn't been what they hoped he would be, but he's a useful player. He just got himself in trouble.
The Bengals ended up with him. Raiders, Browns, 49ers apparently were also interested. And then Corey Ballantyne, who was with the Giants, has been waived, and he was claimed by the New York Jets.
You think things are going to get better?
Yeah, no. Like, that's going to fix things. Now, I will say this. Don't laugh too hard at the Jets putting in a claim. The other two teams that put in a claim on him, the Ravens. Okay, makes some sense. Yeah. They've got some cornerback injuries right now. The Texans put in a claim on him. Seems odd.
I guess
warm bodies to finish out the season.
But. And again, maybe that's a guy that comes in and impresses you. You keep him next year at a low price. Kind of like they did with Vernon Hargraves last year.
Yep, and then they kept him. Whoops.
Let's squeeze in a call. Rodney, I believe.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello. Hello?
Hello.
Are you there?
Okay. Are you ready to talk? If not, we're going to let you go.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, go for it.
The first one is a response to this, the high I remember one time back in the day, the interruption from NFL on a major network is back when the Raiders were playing back in the day and they interrupted everything for the Heidi Bowl.
Yeah, that was not wise.
Yeah, but what I was calling about was, is that, you know, I get bombarded with the political stuff all day, every day. And I listen to you guys daily because it's a great escape. You have a good, dry sense of humor, and I laugh a lot. And I was just thinking, though, when I do call, though, if we could, you know, keep the, I don't know about, why do you guys do a lot of the political stuff? And I don't mean like reporting on the numbers and stuff, but a lot of the sidebar stuff, whether it's for our president of the United States or for Papa Joe, at some point, a Sleepy Joe, rather, we're going to have to start respecting the office of the president, you know, and bring it to be like it used to be. A lot of guys listen to you guys and take a cue from you guys. And I think that that's, you guys could be a tremendous help in bringing respect back to the office.
But I think, Rodney, regardless, I think respect has to be earned. It shouldn't just be, you know, flatly given. I think it has to be earned. And maybe Joe Biden, I mean, I'm not saying Joe Biden can't earn the respect that that office deserves.
No.
But I don't think we should just flat out give it.
I'm talking about the office. It's the office because I'm not saying the jokes about just Sleepy Joe. I'm talking about the jokes about President Trump or even the past presidents. It's still the office that has the respect, not necessarily the person that's in it. So there are jokes going both ways, whether they be against the current president or Sleepy Joe. We still have to start respecting the office. If it's the man, that's one thing, but the office. So when the person is in the office, a certain amount of respect should be given to that from the very get-go, because they are the leader of our country, the greatest country in the United States, regardless, and who picked them? Like when Trump won, President Trump won, the majority of Americans spoke. He became our president, and it goes for both sides. Somebody has to stop it. And I think as leaders in the community and people who reach out to thousands of people, your show could be a great place to start that. Now I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Well.
Okay,
I don't think we're disrespectful of the office. I think
I think sometimes we are because we're joking about it.
But yeah, I mean, Saturday Night Live makes jokes about every president ever. It's just I don't know. I don't think I feel like there's a lot of people who have zero respect for Trump as the president. I'm not one of those. I'm not a fan, certainly, but I don't feel like I disrespect the office. I do think that he does things to bring, he's done things, particularly things he says online at times, to bring shame on the office. And for that, I don't feel bad for him. And I don't know if Joe Biden's going to bring any respectability back to the office. I don't believe in, like, because this is such a rigged game where we're going to be fed a Republican or a Democrat no matter what. I don't feel like I automatically have to respect the office of president. Because I don't. I feel like the person should have to earn my respect. You know, it's not something that's guaranteed in my mind.
I always did up until really, I guess, the last. I think part of the problem is it's not. And I think we're a weird target in this because, frankly, we're not Fox News or MSNBC. That's really where you need to go with this.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are driving the national narrative. But, you know, I mean, it's okay to respect an office, but I think expectations are do a good job.
Yeah.
And I don't have to agree with your decisions or your politics, but do a good job. And, you know, don't be drone striking civilians or telling us you're going to get troops out of Afghanistan and not doing it. I mean, those are things that really bothered me about the prior president. And I'm really curious what's going to happen with Biden, if that's something that he's going to continue or that's not going to happen again. But, I mean, all due respect, man. Yeah, I'm going to call him Sleepy Joe because it's funny. And, you know, I've done bad Trump impressions because it's funny. But I mean, you know, that's just what we do. And I don't think we beat people to death with it either. I mean, we'll do a segment here and there.
And nobody respects us.
Yeah, no kidding.
We're not going to give our respect.
The damn text line, man. They're not going to give us some.
Jerks.
I know that apparently America is the greatest country in the USA.
It is, yeah. Bar none.
That I agree with.
And if you don't like it, you move out of the USA to another country in America.
Yeah, exactly. How about Puerto Rico? Is that Rocky?
Dun, 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 dun. What's up, Rocky?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you, good sir.
You guys think Urban Meyer would be a good football coach, a good coaching prospect for the Texans?
I don't think Urban Meyer is looking to take an NFL head coaching job. I think Urban Meyer, I could see him taking a college football job if the right job opened up for him. But I don't think the NFL is for him because I think that he wants to have more control than an NFL team would or should give him, to be honest.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he'd do a bad job. I think he does a great job of hiring assistants.
Yep.
Getting the right assistants would be critical. But got to grind. I'm moving out of the country to Alaska.
I think he's holding out for the Texas job when Tom Herman gets fired.
Which...
Otherwise, he's got
Tom Herman's going to win enough games where you can't fire him. You watch.
Yeah, well, you won't be able to fire him at least until his contract's up.
Somebody tweeted out, I don't know who Shams Charania is. Rockets Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston, sources tell The Athletic.
You know, I was reading the article on ESPN today by Woj about, I think the headline was something like, Russell Westbrook and James Harden worried about direction of the Houston Rockets. Now, you are the direction. I'm worried about it because of you. Now you guys are saying, we're worried. Y'all are the reason I'm worried. You can't be worried. You're the reason there's worry. We got to get to that.
Shams is becoming the Ian Rappaport to Adam Schefter to Woj.
Okay.
Like, he is, like, Adam Schefter always leads the pack, and then you've got Ian Rappaport just behind him. Shams is becoming that next guy behind Woj.
Okay.
He works for the
Athletic. Who's Chris Mortensen, the guy who's just going to say stuff that will sometimes be right, but mostly be probably pretty wrong?
Windhorse.
Okay.
Oof.
He only follows LeBron.
Yeah,
that's a one-man.
He's like in Bagger Vance, where each golfer had their own individual journalist. Yeah, that's what he is to LeBron.
Yeah. All right, I got to tell you guys about Carbach. And hey, if you're tired of talking about politics, you know what? Yeah, there's something everybody can agree on. And that's that Carbach is delicious. Something for everybody in their lineup. If you want something easy drinking, something nice and refreshing, Love Street is a great. It's a great beginner craft beer. Fantastic. Eric Warner, the head brewer there, the master of the Kolsch is what they call him. And that's not like worldwide. He's recognized as this. So that's that beer. And then they've got the Crawford Bach, which I love as an everyday drinker. Tons of IPAs, and then it's getting into stout season, and you know where they've got something special always is at the restaurant. Always something good and special on tap at the restaurant that you won't be able to find anywhere else. Usually something barrel-aged, usually something pretty dark, so make sure you get on it there. And while you're there, enjoy yourself a fantastic meal. Take your wife there on a Sunday. Have brunch. Women love brunch, and you'll still get to drink beer. Check them out online at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter to see everything going on. But when you're out and about, make sure you grab yourself a Carbach.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. It's fall and we could all use a little awesome. Well, our friends at Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. Who wouldn't want awesome stuff sent to them every month, right? It's like Christmas on your doorstep. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them to pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Trey says, respect The Office. It's the greatest sitcom of all time. I want to say one thing about that, and then we can dive into the Rockets for the rest of the show if you want. But okay. The whole respect The Office thing, I kind of feel like you should be looking at yourself here, Rodney, and we all should. We should be respecting other people, and our politicians should be respecting us. And I've been saying this since the election. It's you know, we need to start finding ways to come together. And if they're not going to lead us to it, and we do it ourselves, then no, I don't have to respect The Office. I don't have to respect who you are, but try to. Yeah, and I said again, try to understand the other side and work with them and find common ground and do that. And if they're not going to do that, we should be doing that as human beings. But no, I mean, if I'm going to make Sleepy Joe jokes, I'm still going to make Sleepy Joe jokes. Sorry. Go to sleep, Joe. All right, Rockets.
So this is an odd story, and I've heard some rumors about James Harden doesn't want to talk to the Rockets anymore, or I don't know what's going on.
He is a petulant little thing, isn't he?
It seems so odd, because at first what I heard was he was the one kind of pulling all the strings on what personnel decisions were being made. And now all of a sudden, Mike D'Antoni's gone, Daryl Morey's gone, James Harden and Russell Westbrook have expressed concern about the direction of the franchise through direct conversations or discussions with their representatives in the Rockets front office. I mean, they did just promote Rafael Stone, who I've not heard one good thing about him, other than I imagine he's working on the cheap. They recently hired Steven Silas, who's never been a head coach before. I mean, those things could be concerning, considering that they've got two guys who have a ton of money attached to them and who have a window that is, it's more closed than open at this point, right? Especially Russ's window.
Yeah.
I mean, how many more years of prime Russ is there? I mean, already be gone. Prime Russ might be gone.
Two at the most. I would say at the most.
And like I said, prime Russ doesn't exist anymore. Prime Russ has come and gone. I mean like high caliber Russ. I think you'll be lucky to get 2 years. And you know what? If they're going to, they could end up requesting a trade. I've said this before. I know people love having stars here. If I could trade both of them out of here and just get a bunch of young future assets and do a full-blown rebuild and lose 50, 60 games next year or the year after, it wouldn't bother me one bit. Let them be irrelevant for a couple seasons and then build this thing back up.
How relevant were they this year?
They weren't.
With them, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of agree. I mean, if they want out, great. See ya. But I don't know if I trust this new guy to make good trades. But I get the feeling, and maybe this is what I'll write for tomorrow. Do you get the feeling with both the Rockets and the Astros that this is about to become a a budget conscious city.
Yeah.
And
I get the feeling Houston is about to have a really dark era of sports. And we've been spoiled for a while where nobody, like, in the last, I don't know, let's go 20 years, at least one of the teams has been relevant. Like, I don't know if I would say a championship contender, but they've at least been in the top, let's say, 20% of their league.
Yeah.
I think we're about to hit maybe a year from now, we're about to hit a time where we may go 3 or 4 years before any of those teams are in that.
It's possible. I mean, I still think the Astros are going to be, especially with an extra playoff team, they're going to be fringe contender at least.
I mean, making the playoffs to me doesn't make you a contender.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, there's a lot of people that are happy with that, because if you get the playoffs, well, especially in baseball, if you can get hot at the right time, you know, you can go a long way. And yeah, I do think that, like, even this year, I mean, the Astros weren't very good in the regular season. They still got the ALCS.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a successful season. I mean, it's, you know, you're technically a championship contender if you get that far. And they were one game away from going to the World Series and getting killed by the Dodgers. So I do think that there's something to be said for that. I think that kind of, that's the kind of thing that could happen again next year. I think once the Rockets do this, you're basically the Timberwolves for a while. And maybe you need to be. And the Texans, I know you and I disagree on that. I think there's a way to get this team at least back to playoff contention very fast. But you got to have the right people to do it. With the Astros, do we know we have the right people? If Jeff Luhnow were still here, I'd feel pretty good. Instead of him having to sue you. I don't know if James Click is going to be able to pull this off. I don't even know who the Texans are going to have, so I can't go there. And I, like I said, I've not heard anything good about the Rockets' new guy.
Yeah,
and
neither have I.
That doesn't mean he's not going to be good. It's just I've not heard anything encouraging. So, you know, that's the concern. We were spoiled here for a while.
Yeah, we've had a good run.
Yeah. You had a great GM in Jeff Luhnow. You had a guy who convinced everybody he was a great GM in Daryl Morey. He at least was pretty damn good. And you had Brian Gain, and then you fired him. And you had Rick Smith. Oh, never mind. Anyway, Mark said, we talked about the Rockets hiring Jeff Hornacek. Vernon Maxwell is willing to forgive his time in Utah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean,
we didn't really talk about it because I don't really care about assistant coaches until I see him coach.
And you know what's, somebody mentioned all sports in Texas are going to be bad. I think the Mavericks have an up arrow. I think the Spurs have a down arrow. Cowboys, God knows what's going to happen with them. Rangers are just the Rangers. I don't know. This, you know, UT doesn't look bad. Aggie may be the star of the
they
show.
Might be.
The Stars don't look horrible.
No, the Stars actually, you know, were pretty damn good last year. They were a legitimate contender. So, yeah, that's it. It's the Dallas Stars and the Aggies.
What a time to be a Texas sports fan.
Somebody just scored. Is that good for you?
No.
Okay.
But that's okay.
Is this an under game again?
No, it's not. I've got +8.5 with Central Michigan.
Oh, okay.
So okay. I can't worry about every touchdown that the opponent scores.
Eastern Michigan?
Eastern Michigan.
Okay. Right. Making sure I had it on the right game.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I can't keep my directional Michigans together. Is that the
Eastern Michigan Eagles? Western Michigan, Central Michigan is Chippewas. I mean, Western Michigan is Bronx. There's too many. There's too many.
So there's not a Northern Michigan.
A Northern Michigan. Okay. Northern Michigan is that weird part, the Upper Peninsula.
The dong.
Like, yeah, it's basically where, imagine the backwoods of East Texas and then make it a whole half of a state. That's what Eastern Michigan is.
So
I think they're like Canadian rednecks in Northern Michigan.
Okay, so that's Northern Michigan is basically Southern Canada.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We get, is that Biscuit?
No, that's Buiscoot.
Oh, Buisquois. What's up, man?
Phillips.
Fella.
Hey, man. I gotta disagree with you on a couple things, man. First of all, I'm definitely stocked up on Astros. That young pitching, Man, if you keep Brantley and you think maybe that young, add another little small piece.
You think that young pitching is going to be better than Verlander, Cole, and prime Greinke?
Well, I mean, not as great as far as Verlander and Cole, but, I mean, the depth. You have a little more depth at the pitching spot. And, you know, maybe not as good in 1 and 2, but better in 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
And maybe the bullpen be a little stronger.
The bullpen's homeless people. I mean, it's terrible.
You get Osuna back, and, you know.
He's a free agent. He's gone.
I'm just saying get him back. I'm just saying, you know, we don't know that the roster's put together. But I'm thinking Astros are up. The Rockets, here's the deal with the Rockets, man. It's not the coach and the GM that Harden and them have a problem with. It's the rumors about them trading Russ. And Harden's like, hey, man, I don't want to be here by myself. And so that's what the deal is. They want to. I think the sample size is not big enough to know if it can work.
Really?
New person. I think it's an up and down season. Russ coming off knee surgery, got COVID. Let's give it another chance, but you got to add some bigs in the front court. You know, that's what I'm thinking. But I think the Rockets, if you make the right moves, Serge Ibaka or whoever, somebody come in the front court and bring back Russ and
Biscuit.
I'm telling you, Russ ain't as bad as y'all think he is, man.
I got to tell you, Biscuit, you are you're a glass half full kind of guy. Like, I don't know how you watch the Rockets team this year and go, you know what? They're a big man away from being contenders. Like, to me, they're closer to not making the playoffs than being contenders. Do you feel that same way?
No, I don't feel as badly about them as you do. As usual, I'm a little bit more positive. But I think everything would have to go right. He is right in that Westbrook coming off the injury, and then you had this ridiculous COVID thing. You never were able to, and then they tried the small ball thing, which that didn't work. You never were able to really get a season with those two guys at their best. Now, I don't know that Russell's ever going to be at his best again. I think that's asking a lot. But if you did and you added some pieces around him, I think you could have one more run. But I also think you're going to be running into some teams that, I mean, I expect the Warriors to be back. I don't think the Lakers are going anywhere. I think the Mavericks have a big up arrow. So
well, think about this.
I just say a lot of things would have to go right.
The teams ahead of the Rockets, the Lakers, Clippers, and Nuggets, are all better teams than the Rockets. We agree.
Oh, yeah. But that doesn't mean that you can't crack into that. If everything goes right, if you make...
That's always the case with every team. If everything goes right...
No, that's not the case with every team.
How often does everything go right?
Well, sometimes it does. If everything goes right with the Spurs, they're not a contender, AJ. That's silly to say every team. But I'm just saying that you can have... I mean, you can't have a scenario where things fall into place. Hell, everything went right for the Astros in the playoffs this year for the most part. It can happen. I don't think it will. If it's up to me, I agree. Trade them both. Move on. But I do see why there's fans out there that would like to see that. I saw enough. I think it was enough of a sample size for me. I'd be ready to move on.
And for me, I've said for years, you're not going to win a championship if James Harden's your best player. I still stand by that. I think the Rockets may be starting to see that. And if they do, then if you can get anything for him, which I think he's got value, you're not going to get equal value for him.
No,
but I would do something and start a rebuild sooner than later. Don't wait till the very end of it and say, man, now James is gone. Now what do we do?
Well, to your point, when the Rockets were at their best last season, Harden wasn't their best player.
True.
The problem was... Westbrook, I don't think he can hold up enough anymore. And so if you move them both, I think now's the time to do it. Just peel it all off at once. While I think you could, be more competitive next year than you do, I wouldn't do it because I think the odds are better that you're going to regress even more and maybe your first round team. And we've seen that act enough. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This Veterans Day, ESPN 97.5 says thank you to all who have served and sacrificed. We thank you.
Saturday. Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football. It's a battle in the Big 12 as Texas Tech takes on Baylor. Hi, I'm Drew Bonadelli. Join Bill Rosinski, Steve Berline, and me for all the action as Eric Ezukama and the Red Raiders look to defend the High Plains against Charlie Brewer and the Bears.
Baylor, Texas Tech, Saturday at 2:30 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You want to...
Thanks to Aaron for bringing me a bottle on a bottle of beer from Ska Brewing in Durango, Colorado. Where I used to, that was our weekend getaway spot when I lived in northwest New Mexico. We'd go chase the Colorado honeys up there, about 45 minutes from where I was living. One of the most beautiful places in the whole wide country. I'll tell you that, Durango, Colorado is. And so I appreciate that, Aaron. And Aaron brought me a second beer, which I've had. So I was like, you know what? There's a better purpose for this beer. It's an Avery Pumpkin, which is a extremely boozy pumpkin beer. And Josh Ennis, who loves pumpkin beer, is going to chug it at happy hour on Friday. So that'll be fun. What's it, like 17?
It's like 15% ABV.
15%?
But it was also, yeah, I got this one in 2015, and it's been aging itself.
All right.
Since then.
So what is our crap shot going to be?
I don't know. We've got a few things in my office. We'll figure it out.
All right.
Let's talk to Harold. Hello, Harold.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
What's up? Sports.
Man, sports. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's really going on? Is it that Tillman Fertitta is really that cheap to where everybody seems like they're jumping ship? And like, is... Well, this would have happened with any other owner is what I want to know.
Well,
your take on it.
I don't know that I want to call Tillman cheap, but what I will say about Tillman is this. I would say Tillman's a guy who understands the value of dollars. and Tillman, every one of these billionaire owners has been affected by the COVID, but Tillman's got to be near the top of the list of owners whose business, like, a lot of these guys, almost every owner in the NBA, really almost every professional sports owner, has money that's unrelated to, like, they've got businesses that are bigger than their, like the NFL or their NBA franchise is something they purchased with money they made elsewhere. Tillman's no exception. And Tillman's other businesses, whether it be casinos or restaurants, have all taken massive hits. It's not like he's hurting. You know what I mean? He's hurting like Jason Momoa's hurting. I'm used to this, but now I'm living like this.
But you've always kind of questioned whether or not he was rich enough to
jump in this game.
Yeah.
I have. And mostly because if something like this happens, like if an economic downturn happens where your businesses, which are based on pleasure, the hospitality business is based on people having additional income to spend. People don't go out to eat when there's a recession going on. The restaurant industry always suffers. People definitely don't go to the casino when there's a recession going on.
And some people are, even if they would go, don't want to be around people right now because they're worried. I mean, they're scared to death of the Rona.
So it's a weird thing, man. And I don't know. I don't know if he's cheap. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I do think that he's looking at this like a business. And he's saying, listen, if I'm not going to get the end result that I want, which is obvious, I still think Tillman wants a championship.
Yeah, he does.
He doesn't want to be the guy who is willing to spend willy-nilly in hopes that he's going to get a championship. I think he is a guy who, if he sees, you know, he seems like a guy who at the trade deadline, if he's close, he might try to make a big splash move to put his team over the top. But if he feels like they're not there,
he wants to cut that thing back. You know, when a restaurant's not making a bunch of money, you don't put every server on a Wednesday night. You just don't.
Well, it's deeper than that. It's not just his entertainment businesses that are down. Guess what? The Rockets are losing money now too.
Yep.
I don't know if they're losing money, but they're not making money the way that he anticipated. And you know what? The China thing hurt, and then the Rona hurt.
Yep.
I guess China and the Rona are the same thing because it is the Wuhan flu. But I think so. When you add all of that together, I mean, it's not like he owns Amazon,
right?
It's like owning Amazon right now.
You're still doing okay.
Your sports team would be doing just fine. There's no question. But yeah, I do think when you add all that up, it does make it to where, okay, do we just keep spending silly money knowing that this is as far as we go?
What do you got, Aaron? Were you trying to say something?
I was going to say, I would think that the way his finances probably look, he would much rather cut down the Rockets roster and have a couple of losing seasons than have to sell off or close one of his casinos
or a chunk
of his restaurant chains.
Yeah.
He's going to go, the Rockets are going to make some money. If I cut it down to just bare bones, it'll at least produce something better than having to go to Vegas and shut something down or shut down.
I don't think he's – I mean, right now would not be the time to sell a casino.
No.
Because you're not going to
But I think if you pressed him on it, he would much rather have a losing franchise than have to sell off one of his properties.
Yeah, I don't think he's in that kind of position. I just think it's
he's just trying to trim a little fat. That's all.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that in this day and age.
Let's talk to CJ. Hello, CJ.
Hello.
Sports, bud.
Yeah. I want to say with the report with Shams coming out about Westbrook going out of Houston, I feel as though if he won out like that, we need to go ahead and get Oladipo and Miles Turner to replace him.
Boy, I think you think Oladipo and Miles Turner for Russ?
I can't see the other guys wanting to do that. Are we about to get into the whole let's trade Russ to the Warriors for Steph Curry and Draymond Green?
You can't get Steph, but can you get Clay and Draymond?
Yeah.
No, I mean, listen, the Pacers are in the same boat, and the Pacers are basically, they're in the Eastern Conference where they're sitting. They probably feel better in their conference than the Rockets do in the West, because, you know, let's face it, the East is, if you're a top six team in the East, you've got a chance to win. You know, we saw that this year. The Heat, what were they, the 5 or 6 seed?
Yeah.
It's Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, Pacers, Heat, Sixers, Nets, Magic. Everybody else was phony. We all knew it. So if you're one of those six teams, I don't know why they'd be selling parts. The Rockets feel like they've probably got a down arrow by them, because not necessarily of their own doing, although they aren't in a great cap situation. And they've got a roster full of guys that fit the scheme, the system of a guy who's no longer here. So they're in a rough spot. And in the West, there's a bunch of teams that weren't great this year that we expect to get better. Namely the Mavericks, the Suns. We all expect the Warriors to be back. I think most people expect the Pelicans to improve greatly in Zion's second year. I think the Grizzlies still have some room for growth. I like
the Grizzlies. I think they've got an up arrow. I still don't know about the Pelicans, because I'm still not sold on Zion, but we'll see. But all those other teams, yeah, I think your Jazz aren't going anywhere, and I think they're going to be solid again. So it is a little tougher, no question.
All right, I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. If you own your home and you're not a bazillionaire, which means, like, because most people, you know, there's some people out there who are like, you know what, it's not worth 15 seconds and a text message for me to save maybe $1,000 a year. But if you're a normal person like me, who's a working man, a man of the people, then you should text TGS. Text the word money to 232323. What they'll do is they'll ask for your address. You reply back. They're going to send you a full insurance quote, a firm quote, excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And if you're anything like me, You'll save a ton of money. I saved over $1,000 a year. The average customer saving nearly $900. And so us regular working class folks can use this. Now, bazillionaires, you can ignore this.
But for the rest of us, it's worth the time. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today. They'll take care of the back end, get you cleared out with your other guys so you can start saving now with TGS Insurance.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you about Harry's. And guess what? If you're wandering around a drugstore or a grocery store, you can walk right over and try Harry's. They've got them there now. Or you can just go online and get a trial set for $3 and use code KFNC at checkout on harrys.com. And guess what? If you don't like it, then they get 100% quality guarantee. So you get your $3 back. How about that? And, man, Harry's razors are great. I switched to them several years ago and have been on them ever since. And they just keep getting better. They've got new, sharper blades, and they never raise the price. They're still as low as $2 each. And I do everything online now, and they all come to me right when I'm about to run out of razors. Everything's perfect, and the quality's fantastic. You can get Harry's sharpest blades ever in big box drug and grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, Harry's has a great offer just for the Blitzers. New customers can get a Harry's trial set for $3 with code KFNC at harrys.com. That includes a five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You guys talking about the worst states, Minnesota. I like Minnesota. I don't know if I'd want to live there, but Minneapolis, underrated city. And Rain Man says Arkansas, but like Hot Springs, Arkansas. I mean, there's some nice areas of Arkansas. I wouldn't want to go there either, but way, way rather do that than Oklahoma.
What's the nicest part of Oklahoma?
Getting across the border back into Texas. I mean, they got tornadoes up there and dust and Oklahomans.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this up the way we do every Wednesday with famous people who died on this day.
R.I.P.
Russell Westbrook's Rockets career.
May have died today. Apparently he wants out of here. And now here, this is what Rockets fans do. They're about to turn on his ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because let's face it. Rockets fan, they didn't like Russ before he got here. Remember when Russ won the MVP over James and they were like, dude's
criminal,
trash.
Criminal.
All he does is get these phony rebounds. Trash. Ball hog. And then he comes here and now they're like, they love Russ. And same with Chris Paul. They love Chris Paul until he left and now they hate Chris Paul. Oh, that's a pick six for my boys. Let's go, baby.
Just ran out of gas.
But yeah, Chris Paul, now he's the bad guy. And nobody liked Chris Paul before he came here. Rockets fans like the guy only when they're here. Russ is about to turn into the bad guy.
Remember when they liked Pat Beverly?
Yeah.
I
know they call that block in the back.
Of course. Man. All right, I'm just going to skip to
the good stuff?
Yeah.
Give me the goods.
Arnold Rothstein shot at 46. Guy who fixed the World Series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, famous in the movie Mobsters. Yeah. Also with Christian Slater. We're talking about, there's a callback to earlier in the show with Christian Slater.
And he's in Boardwalk Empire, too, isn't he?
I don't know. I never watched Boardwalk Empire. I gave it a few episodes. It didn't work for me. All right.
I don't think he's a gangster as much as he's like a shyster, racketeer. I don't know. Maybe he is a gangster.
Well, he was running rum and stuff like that.
Okay.
Okay. Your best deaths.
He's a moonshiner.
Yeah, he was in Boardwalk Empire.
Okay.
Butch Cassidy, American train and bank robber, shot by the Bolivian soldiers at 42. What about the Sundance Kid?
Did he not die the same time?
They did. Why is the Sundance Kid not on here?
Racist. Why racist do you, ass Aaron.
Why do you hate the Sundance Kid? I know he had second billing in the movie, but I mean,
honestly, they're doing a remake in 2020 called Sundance Kid and the Other Guy.
All right. 2011, down goes Frazier. Joe Frazier, dead at 67, liver cancer.
Yeah.
1887, Doc Holliday dies at the age of 36. Must be a piece of a hand.
It's my huckleberry.
Why, Doc Holliday, you look like somebody just walked all over your grave. And I'm sure they did after he died at 36. Alex Trebek this week, dead of cancer at 80. 1831, Nat Turner, a slave rebel who led a violent insurrection in Virginia, was hanged at 31 years old. All right, here's our dead porn stars. You got four of them. See if we can run the table today. 2005, 28-year-old Juliet Jett died from?
What year?
2005.
She was 25? 28. I'll go drug overdose.
Heroin overdose. Ding, ding, yes. Ding, ding, ding. 2013, Sarah Wilde, 32 years old, died from?
Murder.
Cause of death unknown. I'm going to give you a point. Thank ding, you. Ding, ding. Two for two. 1993, Lisa DeLue.
DeLue?
62 years old.
Oh. Let's go with cancer.
AIDS complications. I mean, that would have been a hard one to get, a 62-year-old.
Yeah, all right.
Of AIDS complications. And 2018, Nikki Lee Young, 33 years old.
33. Let's go with... I'll go, she was in a car accident, too.
And cervical cancer.
Damn it.
Such a good start.
I had cancer on the other one, and then it...
Yeah. If you just rolled over the cancer into the next one.
Damn, not bad.
Oh, well. And those are your deaths. And... I was going through some of these others, and she's like, really? I mean, I guess Phil Taylor from Motorhead. Yeah. Jack Palance. Yeah.
Steve McQueen?
Steve McQueen should be in your best deaths. That's why. Yeah. That's,
you should still read the whole list.
Well, but I mean, I'm looking at it, and there's like five of them. Are like, really? I mean, Tom Heinsohn, do we really care about that? Yeah, Janet Reno. I guess there's that. Okay, Catherine the Great. I mean, I'm guessing she's a big noise because she was the great, and not Catherine the relatively average.
When did Steve McQueen die?
1980.
What did he die of?
Heart attack after surgery at 50 years old.
Damn.
Yeah, he was still in his prime.
I guess I didn't picture him being that old in the 80s, but I guess he was. He was really...
Well, he wasn't, because he died in 80.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess he was really... I guess his peak was like the 60s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess... I feel like Bullet was like 1970, but I guess that's a 60s movie.
And what do you think was his best movie?
Bullet is his best movie.
Wasn't he also in... wasn't Papillon him? Oh, I gotta look up Steve McQueen movies.
Or the Cincinnati Kid. Could be a discussion too.
Yeah, Cincinnati Kid was good.
Papillon was him.
Yeah, the Bullet, The Getaway, Papillon, Magnificent Seven, Towering Inferno.
Good movies.
Yeah. All right. Was that because I was guessing the movies?
Honoring Alex Trebek.
Yeah. All right.
I wish that I could, like, that's the one game show job I don't think I'd be a good fit for. I think that job requires a classier gentleman than myself. But when somebody dies from another popular game show, I'm not opposed to taking their job right away.
I actually wouldn't. I think I'd be really good on Jeopardy. I just don't want to follow that guy.
That's tough.
Yeah, you're almost setting yourself up to get fired in a year, and then the next guy is going to be the winner.
Write it down. When Pat Sajak dies, I'm applying for his job.
And
Vanna White still looks 30.
And when Vanna White dies, I'm applying for hers.
All no, right. not that's gonna, if I'm the Pat. You ain't being Vanna, buddy.
No, you're not going to be Pat. Vanna's going to die first. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Hope everybody has a great evening. Till tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.